ready to go.
We're good.
Okay, let's go ahead and call the meeting to order. We can have a roll call, please.
Commissioner Madigan.
Here.
Commissioner Geary.
Here.
Commissioner Anderson.
Here.
Commissioner Blackburn.
Absent, excuse.
Commissioner Taggart.
Here.
And Supervisor Perez.
Alrighty. Next, on to item B, approval of summary proceedings for the June 21st regular meeting.
Considering I'm just now reading it. Looks good to me.
Okay. Anybody else?
Yes.
All right. Then can I have a motion?
I'll motion.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Approved. All right. Next, on to the consent agenda. Correspondence. Okay. All right. So, do we want to?
I don't think we need to pull it. No.
Okay.
I'll tell you about it later.
I just want to say that
we'll wrap.
We got a lot of compliments. So,
all right.
We and them.
Awesome. Yeah. Okay. So then, do I have a motion to receive and file?
I'll make a motion to receive and file.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor? Any opposed? All right.
Sounds good.
On to item D, public presentations. This portion of the meeting is reserved for persons to address the commission on any matter not on this agenda, but under the jurisdiction of the commission. Commissioners may respond briefly to statements made or questions posed. They may ask a question for clarification, make a referral to staff for factual information, or request staff to report back to the commission at a later meeting. Also, the commission may act to direct the staff to place a matter of business on a future agenda. Please come up to the podium. State your name and address for the record before making your presentation. You will be limited to 2 minutes, and if I could ask everybody to please turn their phones off or down so as not to disturb anybody. Thank you. First row? Nada? Second row? Third row? Nothing, Liz?
Nope.
Okay. Three? 15? Back there? Okay. All right. Well, then, moving on. We're on to E, staff announcements. Director Cullen, you're up.
That's me.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Before I get started, I wanted to introduce somebody and make an announcement, although most of you probably know her, but the county that we have hired a new veterinarian. Her name is Dr. Wilson. She's sitting right there. She sounds or looks familiar to you. It's because she comes from the city of Bakersfield's Animal Care Center, and she has decided to come to greener pastures. But she's a super dedicated veterinarian working with her for the past three days, and we're happy to have her, lucky to have her. I know that it's been overwhelming for her for a couple of days now, but we have high hopes. I also did want to touch on we had a meeting about 2 weeks ago with Marley's Mutts and with the Best Friends Animal Society out of L.A. If any of you are familiar, the Best Friends Animal Society, they created the No Kill Los Angeles kind of campaign where they brought shelters and rescues together to strive towards a no-kill environment in Los Angeles. And last I heard, they were at 88% save or something like that. They're expected to achieve 90% in L.A. shelters by the end of this year. The reason why we had that meeting is to discuss how Best Friends can help create a similar coalition here that starts with KCAS and Marley's Mutts, and then we're going to hopefully use their pattern in L.A. and generate and create a coalition of different organizations that can help achieve that goal. So it was a really cool meeting. We had a lot of good information shared. There's a lot that's continuing to be shared. And it was such a good meeting that the Best Friends Animal Society gave us a scholarship to send some of our staff to their annual conference in New Jersey last week. And we only had 2 weeks' notice. And again, those of us who don't know, to get things done like travel in the county within 2 weeks is a massive headache. But Blake got it done. And Lisa, our shelter supervisor, and Sally Breyer, our programs outreach coordinator, attended the conference, and they just got back, and they have some really awesome ideas. So good things happening, as usual.
Is that the Best Friends, the same Best Friends in Utah that
Yes.
Yes.
It's the same one.
Uh-huh.
Both are great.
Yes. Also wanted to touch on last month we talked about a PEDCO grant that we received for $50,000. There hasn't been too much information about how we plan on using those funds. Some of them have been expended technically for the mega adoption event. However, we have some really good ideas on some programs that currently don't exist. And we're working with some local organizations to perhaps create a diversionary program for animals that are being surrendered that addresses behavioral issues. And we see that a lot. So we're working with some local organizations to provide that. And we're also looking into, again, a recommendation from the Best Friends Animal Society about an incentive-based rescue program where we determine the animals that are hardest to place, that are most often put down for the most common reasons. And we literally offer a minor, but yet still an incentive for these rescues to save these animals that are otherwise going to be put down. So we've seen that work in LA, and they've made massive gains in their save rates just from a program like that. So we're just trying to learn from other organizations who have been able to achieve the same thing. Moving on to the director's report. The month of June saw 288 animals leave to rescue partners, our foster program. So 190 new animals entered the foster care program. Our foster care program is packed to the gills right now. Deanna is doing an incredible job. We just submitted a grant to the PETCO Foundation for just under $100,000 to hopefully supply the funding to give our rescue program three additional staff members in order to manage the growth of the foster program. So we'll find out in October whether or not we get that grant. The foster program is still doing well. Our trap and release program to date, 5,931 cats. Actually, we're technically over 6,000 now, but it's 5,931 cats since we created the program in mid-2013. We've actually begun to not just look into, but practice some trap and release in the outlying shelters, both Lake Isabella and Mojave. Unfortunately, it's difficult to get animals, especially feral cats, fixed in the Kern River Valley shelter. So a lot of those cats are being transported back and forth one day a week. It's just a way to offer, even if it's minimal, to offer the TNR program to some of the residents that want to take advantage of it in Kern River Valley. And in the Mojave shelter, we've had some individuals that have expressed an interest in participating in the TNR program. So we've given the staff the okay to go ahead and arranged surgery for those animals out there if that's the purpose that they want to have the animals fixed. So we're starting to spread out into our other satellite shelters operating this program.
I'm sorry, what did you say about the Kern River Valley besides what we're already doing?
We're practicing TNR in the Kern River Valley shelter.
Okay, in addition to their SNPPET program.
That's not our program.
That's
the Friends Foundation program, but yes, in addition to.
So in addition to that.
Correct. Okay. Not every cat that they see, but some of them. Our adoptions have been going strong. 565 animals went to their new families in June. That's a lot. 2,415 animals have been adopted year to date. We're ahead of where we were last year, actually. 28 cats placed in PETCO locations in the month of June. Thankfully, a lot of those cats that are being adopted from the PETCO locations are foster successes. It's just a place for us to get those animals adopted out. We did have a Save a Life promotion in June, which was pretty much the reason for the 565 adoptions in the month of June. But if you've heard me say it once, you've heard me say it 1,000 times, we always have promotions pretty much 12 months out of the year. Field services ran 1,402 calls for service in the month of June. 17 dogs were returned to their owners in the field. 75 animals were secured on property by ACOs in the month of June. And that completes the director's report, and I will be more than happy to answer any questions. But I see Commissioner Blackburn's up here, so.
Right.
There should be any questions.
Yeah, can you answer questions from
the gallery? Sure.
I'll answer whoever has a question.
Okay.
How about that?
Now, you mentioned that you were, you know, you're here with LA and you're tying in with Marty's Mutts, but are other rescues, I know of a new rescue that's building up, and it happens to be more for herding dogs, so it's after my heart. So other rescue groups are also going to be invited in and work with them too?
Correct. It'll be a coalition.
A
and organizations, they don't necessarily have to be animal welfare or rescue organizations, to be honest with you, that want to support that goal of a no-kill Kern County.
Okay, thank you.
We're just trying to pattern how we develop and create that coalition, how we welcome members to that coalition off of the Best Friends of Animal Society, how they did it. So we're kind of getting information from them on how to do it.
Hi, Terry Kahn. When you mentioned Marley's Mutts and the Best Friends, I realized they're doing really well with retail rescue. They're excellent at it. Zach has made
part of... What do you mean by retail rescue, Terry?
This is, believe me. But understand that their goals may not be exactly what the county goals are for the animal shelter. So, yes, whatever we can learn from them, fine, but just don't go wholeheartedly into it, because I hear that, and I know what Zach's has gone and done, and, you know, I'm all for entrepreneurship and capitalism, and I just say caution, be careful.
Understood. Keep in mind, you know, I've been working on the shelter side for some time now. There's not too many organizations that pull animals that have major problems, and he's one of them. I don't have organizations that are coming in asking to take whatever his or that organization's reasoning may be, or whatever you or anybody else feels that reasoning may be. My chief concern is to care for the animals that are in the custody of Kern County.
Right.
And if that animal's going to get out alive, and it's going to have a good home and a good life after that, whatever the purposes are for them taking that animal, I care very little, to be honest with you. It's saving the animal's life, and it's doing right by the animal. So I get that concern. I share that concern with you about what somebody's, you know, purposes may be for pulling that animal. But at the end of the day, my concern is getting that animal out of our shelter alive and ensuring that it has a good life afterwards. So if I can affect that, then I'm a happy guy. And to be honest with you, like I said, when we create a coalition, anybody and everybody will be welcome to join and support that.
Okay. Terry, I've never heard the term retail rescue, and I have an assumption about what that means, but could you tell me what that means?
It means making money off of rescue, and there are ways to do it, and Zach has found ways to do it. He does it very well. And like I say, I'm all for capitalism and entrepreneurship, but that may not be the same. You may not have the same focus that Kern County Animal Services would have.
Okay.
So I just want to say, yes, we can, you know, work with them, but don't get totally in debt with them.
Okay. And just a quick question on this. I've seen these out all over the place. Is it in conjunction with Marley's Mutts? Because I thought I saw, driving by, I thought I saw their name on the bottom.
Marley's Mutts has 6 billboards up, and then KCAS has 6 billboards.
Okay, I was just trying to figure out how that works.
We paid for ours, and they paid for
theirs. Okay, thank you.
I have a personal note on that. The artwork, the pictures were taken by my stepson.
Liz, going back to what Terry brought up and what you said, Director Cohen, about retail, whatever, one of the issues, as I'm sure you know, in terms of rescue from shelter these days, is what is happening to those dogs that get rescued. What is the outcome for them? When we're talking no kill, we're talking about 90% or higher of the animals, you know, are not being euthanized. They're getting out alive. The issue becomes, and you said frankly you don't care as long as they're out of your shelter.
Well, I don't care the purposes for them pulling that animal in the first place.
That if some Michael Vick organization came and was pulling your dogs to engage in that you would care. And that's just an extreme example of what some of the debate is now about no kill and pulling animals and no follow-up. Once they get on that van, what happens to them? So I think that ought to be kept in mind as well. When we're talking about this.
And just to clarify, so what I was addressing was the fact that sometimes rescue organizations, I'm not going to name who they may be, will pull an animal in the hopes that they can generate donations off of that animal.
Yes.
Yep.
Now, most of the time, the rescues that I'm thinking of, they will do that and it will work, and they will find the animal a home, or get it the medical care that it needs, and then place the animal in a home. is it a self-serving reason to pull that particular animal because it's a problem and you can put it on Facebook and people will donate it? Yes.
Sure.
But at the end of the day, the animal gets out of the shelter, the animal gets the care that it needs, and hopefully gets a home. So if a rescue organization is going to profit from that animal that comes out of my shelter because they put it on Facebook, that's the part that really doesn't bother me. So my job is to get that animal out and make sure that it's got a good home. Absolutely, if there's an organization, and we're pretty good about vetting them, that has some bad motives to pull animals in the first place. No, that's not what we're here
for. Well, then you get into the issue of what's a bad motive and what's a good motive. And as you know, that can be tricky in
dog fighting,
and of itself.
I was thinking of.
Right. Okay. Well, and you don't want it to be 5 months down the road, oh, we really tried so hard, but then we had to put it down.
Yeah.
Gee, it was too bad. But, hey, we generated thousands off of that.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, anybody else? All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. How's Jeff doing, by the way?
He's well.
Okay.
He actually wanted to come, and I told him not to.
Oh, okay. All right. So we'll see him soon, though.
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you.
His smiling face is at his desk.
Spay neuter funds update.
We had a good year. They cut our funding by $50,000. We've spent it. We also spent just at. As of this date, we've done enough surgeries to also utilize the $40,000 that I pulled out of the trust fund, and we're $1,400 short right now. I'm sure those redemptions will come in between now and the next meeting for sure. So we've essentially done what we set out to do with the money that we had, and it's time to move on. So we've been told we're going to have the full $250,000 this year, and so we're raring to go. We ran a redemption rate of about 82.7. I think it'll go up a little bit, but by the end of the year. But that's still pretty good. At the end of the fiscal year, I'm required to provide the county administrative office some data on a variety of things. They call them performance measures, and they want me to provide historical data and then pull a number out of the sky on what we're going to do next year, and I've gotten pretty good at pulling that number out of the sky. And so our adoptions went up 3% over the previous year. They went up like 12% over the year after that. So we're going to be, I think we've, it'll be nice to continue having incremental increases, but we also increased the price of adoptions during the year. So I think it's really good that we can increase the price and increase the number of adoptions at the same time. I think that's exceptional. TNR increased in the actual TNR. Our low-income vouchers went down, and so we actually decreased in spay-neuter surgeries overall, total surgeries. We decreased by 13% over the prior fiscal year, and we're hoping to get that. It's putting us in a good position with the extra $50,000 to show a nice increase next year. So, do you have any questions about anything that I've brought up?
All right. So can we have motions to receive and file the director's report and also receive and file the spay neuter funds update?
I'll make
the
motion.
Okay. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. On to IMAF, which is commissioner announcements. We'll start at this end. Do you have anything?
No.
Nothing.
I'm saving life.
Okay.
I've been doing a lot of stuff regarding what's coming up on the agenda later, but I've kind of run into a few things that I thought I'd share. Both dealing with my neighbors and their lost dogs on a personal level and talking with people involved in programs in the city. One of the big things that keeps coming up is microchips are not registered, so animals can't be returned. So I just want to remind everybody else, put it on your social media page. There's a free website called foundanimals.org that you can register any chip and it stays forever and you can edit it. And then the sites that the ACOs use to look them up, search that as well as all the manufacturer sites. And then if anybody wants those sites, I can give them both too. But in fact, I think Critters uses the found animals chips, don't you?
Yes, we do. Yeah. And ours auto-uploads, so anybody who gets a chip at our place, their emotions upload it before they pick it up the next morning.
But, you know, depending on where the chip came from and what manufacturer it is, many of them are not registered or the registration information is not correct. So please remind everybody. I fortunately, in the last few months, have found two dogs with chips that were registered and found the homes. So they do work. And some of them are registered, but just remind everybody. The other thing that I found was interesting is the city has developed a return to owner program as a result of people, you know, screaming and yelling about how expensive it is to get their dog out of jail. And you guys may know about this already, but I found it interesting that you can either pay all the fees and take your intact dog home, or you can pay $50, have the shelter vet alter the dog, and then buy a license and you're out of there for just $50 and a license. Plus, we got the dog fixed in that process. And it's calmed down a lot of the screaming and yelling about how expensive it is to get your dog out of jail. So it's an interesting program. And then the other topic that I know very little about, but I've heard mentioned several times, was a matchmaker program where volunteers work with people who are considering adopting and taking the time to make sure it is the right dog so that they don't get returned to the shelter for whatever reason. So it's just an idea to think up. So anyway, that's me.
All right, thank you.
Can I make a comment on the RTO program?
Yes.
So I think, I don't know if that's something that the county would consider. I know that our surgery load is kind of high right now anyways, but some other positives that I saw firsthand at the city from the RTO program. So just exactly as Susan explained it, that they come into the shelter, if they're intact, they're offered to have surgery for $50 and their fees waived. And overwhelmingly, most people accept that. And so I think it's, one, a great thing because a lot of those animals are repeat offenders. So they already are known to be getting out of the yard. At least they're not getting out of their yard to do the deed and creating more pets to lead to our pet population issue. And then I think it kind of speaks a little bit too about, you know, reaching the communities that we fail to reach with our voucher program, but not by any fault of our own, but there's communities out there that are still not altering their pets. And so, and these are the animals that are creating issues in the shelter and in the community because we know they're intact and running around. So I think it's a really great program, and we saw overwhelmingly positive success from people picking up their pets, not just because the fees were waived, but also because they wanted their pet altered ultimately. So.
Cool. Thank you. All right. On to item G, old business. Number one, staff referrals.
No, there were none.
Okay. Emergency prep subcommittee.
Okay. TCAT has been very busy. We're looking for sheltering sites right now, mainly in the greater Tehachapi Valley area. We did a drill, and I threw everything I could think of at my core group, and they did really well. So we are still searching for volunteers. I apologize at the last training. It was canceled due to lack of attendees, and I don't know if there's just not a whole lot of interest down in General Bakersfield. I know I could fill it up with Tashby, but I guess we're more likely to catch fire. So we're going to try to do some more, one down here, one up there. In the meantime, the Fresno branch has been deployed to the Mariposa, the Detweiler fire. There's over 200 animals being sheltered up there right now. That's the last I heard from Naomi. That was earlier today. There may be more. We may be sending a couple of our volunteers up there, but not many because we are so small that we can't afford to send many in case anything were to happen here. Let me see what else. That is about it. And my apologies to Liz Keough because she was the only one that wasn't reached to tell her that the training was going to be.
No, I wasn't. There were two other people.
There were two?
I spoke to them later. Marilyn Stewart was one.
Sorry.
And Barbara Harmony was the other. I thought they'd showed up before me, but it turns out they, well, Bob was there, saw nobody, said, okay, I'll go to the store, came back, and that's when she met Marilyn. Marilyn was a little pushed out of shape because she had to come down from, you know, Alpha out on Granite Road.
Yeah, I totally appreciate that. I wasn't part of that organizing, but yeah, I did bring apology eggs for my chickens.
I did get hold of Miss Swan and suggested, number one, the publicity on it was terrible, and that's
correct.
Why she told me there was a total initial 14 signups. And then there were some last-minute cancellations. And I understand the logistics. There's no point in coming down for three of us if that indeed is all there that had planned. But the other thing she said was she texted people the day before. I don't do text. Marilyn doesn't do text. And what I said to her was she said in her email to pay attention to your emails, which is exactly what I did, and that's exactly the method she did not use to let us know. So we had a little chat about what happened.
I'll get more involved next time. It was the Fresno office, so I apologize for that, but we'll try again and we'll stick to one communication way and it won't be text. So anyhow, that's what's been going on now, but if we really do need volunteers, and they could easily be deployed to other areas like Mariposa. So.
I agree with that.
Yeah, thank you, because that's one of the requirements as a class that you try to take. Cheers.
If you do have a couple volunteers and they get deployed up to Mariposa, what do they do there?
Oh, they're doing everything. It depends on what you're qualified for, because before you become a volunteer, we'll know what your forte is. We'll know if you want to do horse handling or if you want to take care of kittens. We'll know.
Do you help out with the shelter staff up there?
Oh, absolutely. That's what you'd be doing.
Okay.
You'd be in there.
What do you do?
Oh, yeah. No, we work you hard. But we do need volunteers, so if you have an interest, ccadt.org is all the information about the group. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? No? Okay, on to item number three. Is there anybody here from Friends to do a report? No? Okay.
I can tell you that I know the Friends Foundation is purchasing our foster program's 15 medium-sized dog crates.
Awesome.
Thankfully, yes.
Awesome.
Did you ever get the x-ray machine?
I believe the equipment got delivered today.
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
It's news to me. you're bringing up a sore subject.
Oh, sorry.
I'm still waiting for electrical. We have to run an electrical line. I've been,
Electrical was here today.
That's
news to
you. Also news to Blake.
Yeah.
Which is news to me because the last I was waiting for was a purchase order from the county purchasing department. So.
It's not waiting on me, is it?
I have no idea what to say. If I were waiting on you, I'd call you.
Okay.
All right. And then item four, neither of our entities is here, so we'll pass on that one. And then item five, presentation by Commissioner Madigan and Ms. Keough on the feasibility of a JPA.
Okay. If you look back on the table, there are some packets that start out with a letter on the top. I have been visiting with several people in the county, including Steve Teglia, and just talked about a number of things. Talked about a number of things, not just this particular topic. I've gained a ton of knowledge. It's been a very, very good avenue for me. You guys have seen your number. I have drafted up a letter as a result. I don't know how interested the city would be, to be honest with you. I didn't forge ahead gangbusters with this topic. I mainly went in talking about lots of issues. But it was apparent that this topic is probably not something that they're interested in at this point. That being said, I still feel it would be a very valid direction for us to go because I disagreed with the reasons I was given by city personnel. So I went ahead and wrote a draft letter that we can vote on tonight. And I brought a blank one that I can sign if we decide to do that. All the rest of them say draft on them because I didn't want them going around as if they were the final document. Or we can make changes to this one and I can sign whatever we make changes to. But the package that they're getting includes the letter, more detailed information about the problems with dual jurisdiction areas. And at the bottom I put desired outcomes. And the first thing I put on there, which I felt was important to put first, is to implement the best programs of each agency for the entire metro area. Because both agencies have good programs. So why not pick the best of each if we're going to go down that road and make sure that they are implemented for both. And then the other outcomes are shared intake policies and procedures, identical fee schedules, which I believe are pretty similar now, aren't they? Mirrored ordinances, shared dispatch and field services with one phone number for everybody in the metro area to call, one license for both jurisdictions, and then all the ancillary things to be the same, like voucher programs and things like that, because the voucher program was a glaring example of how this issue has arisen. Also in their packet is a very brief article that Liz found, just so I have something really quick that talks about cost-effective, you know, that being the operative term of this particular article, because I wanted to include that. And then I know that I'm sure they've all seen the map of Bakersfield, but and this is not the best quality one I've ever printed, but it is the best I could do. But it shows all the little white pockets of county areas where the problem areas lie. So I don't know if you want to read the letter, you want me to read it to you. What was that?
I read it.
Okay.
I'd like to spend some time reading it.
Exactly.
The concern is we need to get it going now, or we can't wait till next month. That's why I brought with me that's ready to be signed. If we wait till next month, it won't be of any point, because they're going into negotiations already about their contract.
So your feeling is they're not interested in doing this? And the main reasons?
They feel it would be a step backwards. I don't necessarily agree with that. Nor do I necessarily agree that working separately is in the best interest of the residents and the animals. But that's some of their reasoning.
Nick?
Or we can change this letter if you want.
I just want your input on how you think this might work.
There's bits and pieces of the JPA proposal that I think would work well, and there's pieces that I don't think would work well. I wouldn't support it as is, but like I said, there's a lot of valid points that some sort of joint agreement or joint powers authority type agreement would hopefully solve.
And to be honest with you, I'm in the same place. I think, but going in this direction is least, you know, like Supervisor Perez, no, the other one, not Supervisor, Commissioner, the one that said
Gary.
Gary, thank you. I'm still on that same medication that makes it really hard to remember. So, as he said, you know, we shoot for the moon and maybe we can get at least partly there. So to be honest with you, I would just like this to be a nudge. And then the community activity that Liz has talked about, where we get, you know, we get on Facebook and other social media and other kinds of means of communicating with people, that's the side of it that we get the community involved with to push from that end. And that's really the end that probably would make the difference. This is just to get the top end at least open their eyes and get that started.
Before I say anything, does anybody in the audience have any input, questions?
Oh, I was just questioning the rush. I mean, you said it has to be tonight.
Because
or not
the
at all.
city contract with the SPCA ends at the end of September.
I see.
And if we don't act now and ask our authorities to ask their authorities
to create a one-year contract rather than another three- or four-year contract, then our efforts at trying to create this to happen...
Opportunity doesn't roll around.
Yeah, it won't roll around again for another 3 or 4 years.
And how long have you known about this?
A while. We've been working on it for, what, three months? Something like that.
So there was no input on any of this in the last 3 months?
Yes, we've talked about it at every meeting.
Okay. I have to say that in reading the letter, it's definitely a shot across the bow. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's somewhat premature and kind of abrupt in a lot of ways.
Well, I was trying to get everything in on one page, too.
I understand.
So that's why it's abrupt.
ultimately, I think, now, did Liz attend these meetings with you, or was it strictly you doing this?
The meetings with city people I did on my own.
Okay.
But the planning meetings, Liz was with me.
Okay.
What planning meetings? The planning meeting we had with Nick and communication we had with each other.
Okay. I just, you know, if you guys are a subcommittee, I think I'd like to have a little input from both subcommittee members. And ultimately, I agree with Nick. There are some things that are very prudent and very worthwhile, and I think there are some that there's just no bueno. It's not going to happen. And as we said at the last meeting, the reality is that the city's probably not going to even consider it. We've been down this road before.
Well, actually, they were considering it before. And if my understanding is correct, it was the county that dropped the ball, not the city.
Actually, no, that's not true.
So if I can ask a question, is Commissioner Madigan, is the proposal to recommend these changes in this letter to the Board of Supervisors as is?
The letter states, the first paragraph says, we would like you to advise staff to begin communications with city, and please be aware that that contract's going to expire the end of September. So we want to encourage them to only renew it for 1 year. That's the recommendation to the Board of Supervisors. The rest is all about the issues.
Is there a possibility of doing this a different way, rather than a JPA, do some, because everyone agrees there's some really good things that could take place, but some that probably won't ever happen. To have some sort of, not a MOU, but an agreement of cooperation?
There's several different levels of intricacy, starting with a joint powers authority, ending with a memo of understanding. And you can do, correct me if I'm wrong, Madam Counselor, but there's many different levels in between that are options as well.
Okay, and then do they have to go through the Board of Supervisors, or can they go from agency to agency as far as animal services?
It has to go to the board.
And that's where it gets
messy. Yeah.
Well, and to the city council. Anytime you have a JPA that is composed of, let's say, six water districts, the board of each water district has to agree to the terms of the contract. If you have... the hypothetical example of the Bakersfield Fire Department and the Kern County Fire Department, only hypothetical, boys and girls, having an agreement about who's going to respond to the fire at my house to the county when the city station is two blocks and the county station is 3 miles, and they have these agreements. Then they get into pissing matches about who owes who what. You cannot have even a memorandum of understanding unless you have something like a joint powers agreement. The memorandum of understanding is part of the joint powers of agreement.
Well, that's,
does that make any sense?
That's not entirely true.
Okay.
There can be an agreement between the county and the city, for example, specifically to agree to issue licenses, let's say, for each, for the other entity, and exchange back and forth, that would not constitute a JPA. The JPA is specifically for the joint exercise of whatever power each group holds. So in other words, a JPA, for example, is where you agree to, put a city and county employee in the same truck and provide animal services. That kind of thing, where you're jointly exercising a political power that you enjoy.
Okay. So an MOU can be done?
Yes.
Not the JPA.
For specific things that are small is basically the best way to put it.
I was looking at the small list down here. I don't see having one phone line. That could be crazy. But there are some things, mirror ordinances, identical fees, maybe. I don't know. I'm just throwing out my two cents.
And just to give you my personal opinion, not that, I have my finger on the pulse of every single animal owner in the county of Kern and city of Bakersfield, but the complaints that we get, I don't get complaints about fees. I don't get complaints about ordinance structure, about ordinance codes. I get complaints about, I want to take an animal to whatever shelter I decide.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Or whatever is easiest or closest. So, my opinion, and as an extension, the department's opinion, is that any agreement or memorandum of understanding or joint powers agreement should just address the biggest problem that the community sees. And what we have seen is the biggest problem is that someone finds an animal, they want to be able to take it to their choice of shelter, regardless of where they come from, where they live, what it says in their ID. So although I agree that a lot of those points that are brought up in that document may be valid, I think that what we're seeing in the shelter and the feedback from the public is that issue.
Yeah. And that was the issue from day one.
Okay, since it's all about the animals, currently neither shelter will take animals if they're not from that area.
Right.
I can speak from the city in that if someone comes in, they check their address. And if they are a county resident, we advise them to go to county. But often they throw a fit and I'm just end up in the park, something ridiculous, and then we end up taking a lot of county
animals. And like I said, it's all about the animals. So way back when I ran the Irvine shelter, we got a lot of county dogs. We would take them, hold on to them until the county came and got them, mm-hmm. and vice versa. And it worked well.
It's not an absolute. The general rule is if you're a county resident, the county shelter takes your animals. If you're a city resident, the city animal takes your shelters. But both organizations have the animal's best interests at heart, so it depends on the situation. But by far, the majority of the time,
that's
what happens.
Issue.
Yes.
That's the issue.
Do you see problems with field services? Okay, so there are field services issues.
I mean, no, I don't see many issues with a difference in county and city ordinances. I don't see that very much.
Okay, well, you started to say you don't see problems.
I mean, I have concerns about my own field services department that we're working on, but
it has nothing to do with
no.
Okay. We talked about that enough.
No organization's perfect.
Okay, and I'm open. I'm following through on what we said we would do.
Yeah, I'm just thinking as Nick. I think baby steps are going to be much easier. Going with a small, facet of our concerns and working up to it, and ultimately, it's realistically going to need to come from like a grassroots effort if you want to really affect some major change with the city.
But I was tasked to bring something to this commission to take action on.
Right.
I was told that this commission provides recommendations to the board, so that's what I'm doing.
Right.
Okay, so I'm just telling you.
I understand.
Okay.
I understand. I'm just saying that...
And I don't disagree with you that it has to come from a grassroots effort. I'm just saying this is my job.
Right. Well,
and what's the grassroots
job?
Right. But as a commissioner, this is my job.
Right.
So, Liz is more the grassroots end of this particular project. Go ahead.
I have another question. So there's another unknown here that maybe others know. So I don't know what the city of Bakersfield's contract with the SPCA looks like. Do we know for sure that...
I have it at home. I didn't bring it with me, but I can...
But, I mean, we're behaving as if we're pressed for time, because... Yeah. But do we know that the city of Bakersfield can't enter into some sort of joint agreement with the county after September?
I don't know. When I met with Steve, I got current copies of all the amendments on the contract with the homeless center, something else, I can't remember. But they're at home. I didn't have a truck, you know. But I don't know that there's anything. I know when I read the original contract, it said either one can bring it to an end with a 30-day notice. Mm-hmm. Whether or not the current one or the future one says that, I would imagine they probably does. There's no reason to take that out.
I mean, I'm just saying that I can understand the commission's trepidation.
Oh, I do too.
To pass on
a
draft to the board that they just saw now.
There is some legal concern.
That this could... Oh, you always have that.
That's what I get paid for.
That's what she said.
That's her job.
I know. I love her anyway, though.
There's some concern that what you're doing could be considered interference with contract. If you push the board and the Board of Supervisors pushes at the city, there is the potential for that. I don't think it's reached that situation yet.
It's called interference.
Interference with contract. There is a contract between the SPCA and the city of Bakersfield for the operation of the shelter. Okay. And doing anything to interfere with both the ongoing, with either the ongoing contract or any future contract that they may negotiate, can be a suable offense.
That's like the fifth time I'm going to get sued for being here. Okay. Okay, so what do you recommend from that perspective?
I would recommend that you be very careful in the language that is used should the commission decide to adopt the letter. It's going to have to be reworded. It could not be sent out in its current condition.
Perhaps council can go over it before.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
I'm
bored stiff. Yeah.
To avoid a lawsuit. Review, but I didn't hear back. So that's fine.
You sent what? I'm sorry.
I sent the letter to Nick for his review last week.
Oh, okay.
Danny.
I had a question. I don't know if it's already been brought up or addressed or whatever, but it becomes a matter of the public basically has a choice between shelters, let's say. If one shelter is closer to a no-kill status or more successful in safe outcomes for animals, as the public becomes aware of this, then that's obviously going to be the more appealing shelter to go to. As time goes by, then you can see one shelter taking on a great deal additional animals and seeing a great increase in intakes, and as opposed to people going to the less appealing shelter.
Well, when the split first happened in 2013, correct me if I'm wrong, but there was a lot of discussion about that, and there was about, you know, like the thank you. I can't do names. Like David said in Irvine, you know, they took the animals in from the county, and then the county would come over and pick them up. And we, if I remember correctly, there was discussion about doing that, but the ultimate decision that transporting animals back and forth was expensive and not in the animals' best interest. So then there was discussion about just keeping a log, and at the end of the month, you know, we took 50 of yours and you took 25 of ours, so you owe us X number of dollars for the other 25 of yours. Would that help? Would that offset some of that? Would that be a doable recommendation?
I mean, I think that any agreement that were to be thought up or dreamed up, you know, it would have to include some sort of language that prevents one organization from being inundated over another.
Absolutely.
I know.
Put a cap on it.
I know that, you know, Kern County Animal Services and the City of Bakersfield Animal Care Center, we have a good relationship. Okay, we're not at each other's throats. They save animals. They do really good things. and we do as well. But as we all know, the city and the county above me haven't had the greatest relationship, especially when it comes to finances. Mm-hmm. So I think that it gets very dicey when we start talking about you owe me and I owe you.
Yeah, I know.
So
that's a minor thing, you know, like $25 for a dog. I mean, it's not like...
Not to them, not to Steve.
But we're talking about 26,000 animals over a year, you know?
No, but I mean...
Another thing is if you're talking about $25 for a dog, I mean, it essentially costs over $400 per animal on average from the time they come in the door till the time they go out. So, you know, what number are we going to pull out of the sky between the $25 and the $400+?
But we're not talking about the cost of sheltering in general. We're just talking about a small cost. We can't even agree on that.
Well,
we can't agree on anything because ultimately it's going to be up to the board
meaning the city and the county.
In my experience with licensing, with joint licensing, when we separated, that was a nightmare.
Yeah.
That was a horrible experience. And so, from my perspective, when you talk about entering into a joint, anything with logs and money and all this, you know, all you're going to see is me trying not to have a panic attack. Because that's an exaggeration. I apologize. I don't mean to exaggerate. But, you know, we invested hundreds of hours reconciling and messing with the licensing discrepancies that everybody wanted to point out. And it just... I don't want to go down that road again, personally. Yeah. And so anything that we would set up would have to be something where we can prevent the kind of stuff that we went through the last time.
So I think we're getting in the weeds a bit here.
That's fine.
Again, who knows what it would look like, but that would be up to the city and the county to decide what some sort of agreement would look like and what caveats would be involved to prevent one facility from being inundated over another. I think that's for another day. I think that the question here is, what does the commission want to recommend to the board? And how does that recommendation look, ultimately? I just my opinion and the department's opinion, I think it might be unrealistic to get that done now.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I mean, I don't know if council has a recommendation of how to proceed. Do you recommend that the commission goes back to the drawing board because it does, or do they take a vote on?
Well, I cannot instruct the commission on what they want to do. If the commission can figure out what they want to do, I can tell them how to do it. I can say from my experience, the first thing that's going to have to be done is you're going to have to be able to document with statistics the problems that you're talking about. If you go to the Board of Supervisors and you say, this is what happens, they're going to say, well, how often does it happen? So you're going to have to find some way to document that. Because before they're going to do anything about a problem, they're going to have to be assured that the problem is significant. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if it happens one or two times a month, they're not going to have a lot of incentive to put anything into a program. So that would be what I would recommend as a first course of action. But I, like I said, it's not my place to tell the commission how to go, what they want to do.
But what we have what we have here is a motion.
We don't have a motion.
I mean, not yet. Okay. But we would be moving towards a motion to adopt the draft of that letter to be sent to the board.
Okay. In my opinion, the draft of that letter is going to have to be revised because
And I'm fine with that. I don't even want to make a motion. I'm just trying to do my job, you know.
Okay.
And if, as a group, we decide that we want to go a different direction, I'm willing to do the work that needs to be done to make that happen. Okay. I'm just saying, because of the timeline, if we're going to do this, we have to do it.
I don't think we should act under pressure.
At this point, your options are essentially to continue the matter indefinitely, to give instructions to the subcommittee as to how you want them to move forward, or to table it completely.
Okay. We have a comment back there?
Yeah.
if there's some way that you guys can get together and divvy up what's kind of just straggling out there or whatever, I think it would be lovely if somehow you could cover the days that there's no shelter open.
Oh, you know what? That's a good point. We didn't put hours on there. Yeah.
Because if, you know, the county could cover 2 Sundays and the city could cover 2 Sundays, simplistic, I know, but there are so many people that find dogs and they just leave them on the streets because they don't have anywhere to take them.
Mm-hmm. Well, if they call an animal control officer, aren't they?
That's funny.
Terry?
Just as a suggestion, I would say to take the information that you've got, focus on 2 or maybe 3 of the most pertinent items that you think that need to be, that would be best served or best served the county and the city both, and then generate data on that, spend maybe 6 months collecting data, and then come back and revisit and recreate the document, the letter document. Because then you'd be able to actually speak from a position of power and intelligence.
Knowledge. Knowledge is power.
Yeah.
Okay. I think if you're cool, I think if you and Liz can continue to work on this, I think Jerry brings up an excellent point of statistics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the bottom line is, ultimately we're here to protect, you know, for the board and for animal control. And so ultimately our primary focus is to protect us in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it would be great if we can reach out to the city in some way and have them ultimately work with us. But I think, especially now with them being in negotiations, the fact that we've already been down this road before, I think we have to come back at them with, in essence, a new approach, and in a, maybe very small. I think going very small, like 1 or 2 items, would be probably the best thing, something that we think is really doable that gets our foot in the door, so that we can then maybe move forward as, if you know, we're able to create that relationship with them, to be able to expand it as there is success.
Nick, how difficult would it be to gather statistics?
I can gather whatever statistics you need.
Say that again?
Statistics. I can gather whatever statistics you need.
So you could find out how many people come in to relinquish an animal that live in the city and get turned away. Or you do take them, but it's still live in the city. Regardless of what you actually
I don't have statistics on people get turned away.
No, but I mean, how many city people come in and have to encounter a roadblock of some kind? Either you take the animal or you don't.
There'd be no way for me to know how many city residents are refused services at the county facility.
Or vice versa.
That's
not information they're keeping.
There's nothing on that that would be in our system, so we would have to come up with.
Is there a way to do it, though?
It would have to be manual, like a manual system of some kind.
It'd be like doing a poll
when you come
in.
And those are the least reliable.
Mm-hmm.
It's the, oh, dang, I forgot.
I moved.
So it might be not only those who come in, but also the post.
I like the idea, I just don't know how we gather all that.
Why do you want to put your thinking cap on?
I left it at home.
Oh, okay.
With the sidebar I had with Lisa just a second ago, it does happen for sure on every Monday because the city is closed on Monday. And so we get more city residents coming in on Monday because we are open. But, you know, and the exact number, it is happening, according to Lisa, that she just told me, every Monday.
So maybe we do a once-a-week survey.
So curious, what happens on Monday when they come in? Are they just told,
It just depends on the situation with the animal. If it's a healthy animal and they can keep it and they can, you know, not going to dump it out in the front, then of course I'll tell them to keep it in Vanity City on Tuesday when they open. But if it's a too young, something sick, something that doesn't look good, maybe painting has heat stroke, I'll take it in.
Do we have a history of complaints about this sent to either the commission or animal services?
I don't know of any formal complaints that have been made.
Okay.
And there's a whole load on Facebook.
Yeah.
If you go into either.
And I've been yelled at when I refuse to take an animal. A few occasions, I'm sure it happens to her on a regular basis. Perfectly healthy.
Okay, so do we want to just send this back to committee and have you guys keep working on it?
Okay, well, I think that's good. Based on this discussion, and what I'm thinking right now, but that doesn't necessarily mean what will be the outcome, is draft up a recommendation to work with the city on taking each other's animals and complementing each other's hours. However that be, county takes in the animals on Mondays or whatever days the city's closed and the county's open. Are there days that the city's closed and the county's open?
No.
Yes, no.
Every one?
No, because we're both closed on Sundays.
Yeah. But Monday.
Yep. So they're
Monday. The city's closed.
No, she asked if there's days that that's...
Oh, both of us.
The county's closed and the city's open.
We're only closed on
Monday. Is the county ever closed when the city's open?
That doesn't happen. That's what we're getting at. Yeah.
Well, Wednesday morning.
County is open six days a week, right?
Mm-hmm.
Starting at noon on Wednesday from noon until 7, correct?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So,
because technically Wednesday mornings.
Wednesday mornings. Yeah. Another time.
Really, two, because you don't do intakes till 2.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, addressing some means of taking each other's animals and addressing the hours. Would you say those are the two?
Those are probably the two key concerns right now.
Over the past almost 4 years, that's the most common complaint that we get.
Okay.
That you're closed?
No.
No, about those two issues. The hours of operations being differing and the fact that I'm a city resident, I can't drop my animal off at the county facility.
I make a motion that this particular letter be tabled for now, more research put in, and possibly taken in a different format.
Okay. Second. All in favor? Any opposed? All right. Good deal. You have your marching orders.
Okay.
Okay. Did you get what the actual?
Yes. Yes.
Alrighty. We have no business. So the last item is adjournment until our next meeting on Wednesday, August 16, 2017. Do I have a motion? Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor? Any opposed? All right, thank you all.
Debbie.